I'll start with the essential foundation of breaching. The essential foundation of breaching. First of all, we have to be motivated for breaching. It's not easy to breach unless you have a strong motive inside you. This motivation comes easily when you stick to the word of God. When you love God, you will feel how it is very important to our Lord to preach His name and His word to everybody. I'll start with a few sentences. I believe these sentences are the great motives or motivations for preaching. The first is in Mark 13. Our Lord said, "And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." The gospel should be preached to all nations. So this is the goal of our Lord, the dream of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we love our Lord, we will be happy to make His dream real. This means that all the world is our field of preaching. We are not going to preach only to the neighborhoods, but we aim at preaching everywhere. Another sentence in Daniel chapter 12, I like this one very much. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." Concerning the sentences, you are not supposed to write the complete sentence. You may take the number of the sentence, the verse I mean. "Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." This is the part I like to focus on. "Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." This is the focus of preaching, that we are going to turn many to righteousness. So we will be blessed, lastly, being stars in heaven forever. Another verse in James chapter 5. "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Again, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way." Look how the Holy Spirit put it, the error of his way. So we consider those who do not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as being living in an error in their way. They are not bad. We do not hate them. We love them. But they do not know the real way, the perfect way to heaven. So our aim to turn them from the error of their way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Imagine yourself saving somebody from drowning or from a car accident. How grateful will be his people to you for saving his life? But he will live like a few years and he will go away. But when you save somebody's soul, this means that you put him in heaven millions of years. He will be grateful to you for saving his soul. So this is a great mission. It's worth all our life and all our focus in our life. So I wish you can keep these verses by heart so you will be motivated to preach. That Saint Mark said that this is the goal or dream of our Lord, to preach to everybody. Daniel said that in the last day, those who turn somebody from their ways to the right way, they will shine as stars forever. And James said that if you change or turn somebody's direction to the direction of salvation in heaven, you saved his soul and also you covered a multitude of sins. So it's really a great mission to be a preacher. Our target, we have to have a pure target and focus on this target. Our target, as being written in the Bible, is the salvation of the soul. So all through our service, we will not be much indulged in many other activities. You know, we can serve many other services, but in preaching, we aim at salvation of the soul. We aim at those who are not believing in God to be believers, to believe. So this is our target. We have to focus on the goal all time. Remember another verse that was written, that our God's will is salvation of everybody and being known by everybody. Our Lord wish to be well known by every human being. So this is our aim. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. In Corinthians, the second letter of St. Paul to Corinthians, he wrote that we care, giving no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. So we are trying to be blameless in our life, in our words, in our attitude. We're trying to be blameless, because this is a great mission, needs a blameless service. Also in St. Peter, his first letter was written, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So if you believe, if you have a real faith, then the end of it will be salvation of others. If you believe really in God, you should care for salvation of others. If you do not care until this moment for others to know God, then you have to revise your faith. There's some error in your faith if you do not care much for those who still do not know our Lord. This means that you are going to hell. Imagine those who are living around you and still rejecting our Lord, or at least not knowing Him. If they die any time, this means that will terminate forever in hell. So we have to do something. Putting our target as salvation of souls, also remember what's written in St. Luke chapter 10. He said to them, the harvest truly is great. Always when I am speaking with Medhat specifically and looking at the maps of the world, I always remind myself with this verse. The harvest is great. Yes, the world is open for us to reach everywhere, to everybody. But the laborers are few. So the preachers are just workers in the field of God, and they work with God. So we are working under supervision of our Lord, and we are working with Him. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. So from this day, we should pray for each other, we should pray for others who preach, we should pray that God cover the world with preachers, with workers who care for salvation. After putting the target or the goal, let's put this clear. The message. What is the message we are going to deliver? What message we hope to deliver to people around? It's exactly Christ's message. I mean, if you are a real preacher, you will follow the steps of our Lord. Whatever He says, you should say. Whatever He was doing, you will try to do. So our Lord is our model in preaching. He came as a messenger from heaven to earth, and we are His messengers now to earth. So our message simply is Christ's message. If I ask you, what do you think our Lord's message? You can say message of peace, okay? Message of love, okay? But overall, message of knowledge. He came to give us the knowledge of real God and real heaven and eternal life. So this kind of knowledge is the key for salvation, for the eternal life. So all your work in preaching, that you try to give this knowledge, to deliver this message to everybody you meet. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Look to the start, peace to you. So your message is always full of peace. You are trying to convince everybody that knowing God is the only way to peace, to peaceful life. Knowing God not only for eternal life, but also to spend your life here in peace. Father has sent me, I also send you. So we are God's messengers to those who need his message. Also it's written in St. John, "I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored." Reap, you know, reaping. This means that you may speak with somebody and you find that he easily convinced, he easily accepted your message. What happened? Actually, somebody paved the way before you. You did not see this. You only working with the final step. Many worked before us. Our Lord paved the way for our preaching. That you will experience, actually. I felt it many times, that you speak with somebody, you find it like he is very ready to be reaped. So I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So remind yourself only always that you are not working alone. There are many who are laboring with our Lord Jesus Christ and we are coming late. We start late. Just reap this hub with our Lord and to enjoy eternity with him. Also written in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Being light of the world means that you are not Christian unless you preach. If you keep the message inside your heart and ignoring those who are going to hell around, this means you are not the light of this world. Our Lord brought the light. The light came to the world. The world was in darkness. And our Lord came to this world to enlighten everybody. And he gave this message to us to complete. So we are his light. So a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It means if you are his light, you will be always enlightened by his word and making your work easily, that you are being the light for others. Also, in putting the essential foundation of preaching, we have to say that the gospel, we have to remind ourselves that our faith, if the gospel is mainly God's message of love. So when you deliver the message of the gospel, I mean the whole book we believe in, we actually deliver the message of love. So don't stick to the stories and verses which may divert your preaching. You should focus on the message of love from the start to the end. God is love, and this, the whole book, the holy book, is all about this. Mainly directed to man's spiritual need for redemption. Also, you should believe as a preacher that all people you are dealing with, they are hungry. They are very thirsty. Something we call redemption, salvation. They do not know maybe this word. They do not understand the meaning of salvation. But actually they are hungry. They need it. They are thirsty for this. So you are working on the need of others. Don't believe anybody who say, I'm happy with my life this way. He is not. So mainly our preaching directed man's spiritual need for redemption. But be aware of people's condition. I mean, when you preach, you will deal with different kinds of people. Those who are really hungry, poor people, you may deal with tired ones, you may deal with bored ones, loneliness, poverty, mistreated ones, rejected ones, all patterns of people you will deal with. And you should think and pray to choose the best way to introduce your face to each pattern of people. So preaching needs praying, understanding people around, knowing God's word properly, and knowing how to use this word for the proper one. Also, understand what and how people think, feel, and aspire to do. You have to understand, while flying to USA, you have to understand how Americans think. When you fly to Asia, you should know how do these people live. When you fly to Africa, you should understand their culture and their traditions and their background, their history. So you need to understand many things before speaking loudly the word of preaching. Understand what and how people think, feel, and aspire. Many people are, for this century, for the century you are living in, I put this point from a book of preaching, that most of the people in America, Australia, Europe are hard working. So you have to understand, people you are dealing with are hard working. They are struggling for financial security, most of the people now in our country and in other countries. They can be generous and helpful to neighbors. Kind of morals, you know, you have nothing to do with Christianity or any religion. This is the pattern of their life. They respect each other, they respect neighborhood, so they generous and helpful to neighbors. This kind of their life. So just understand how they live, how they think, what are their traditions. Many people around regard pleasure as a priority. This is a very important point. This is kind of an obstacle in our preaching, that these people believe in pleasures. They do not believe in God, maybe no God, whatever God, but they believe, most of them, in pleasures. They want to enjoy this minute, full stop. They do not think of tomorrow, much, or after tomorrow. Don't open the subject, the silly subject of afterlife. Don't open the silly subject of God. Who is God? I don't care. So you have to understand this nature of people around. Also, they hate to be patronized. I think he meant in the book that they do not like to be pushed into a frame. Narrow one. They like to live their life the way they like. So don't push them. Don't say you should. When you say you should, the discussion is over. You shouldn't say you should. I shouldn't. Nobody push me. You understand what I mean? So you understand, because you may spell like few words and then discussion is over. Also, many of them are committed to causes that generally line up with their self-interest. Committed to causes that generally line up with their self-interest. I mean, they are committed. Many of them have commitments. But this kind of commitment is not to religion or God or gospel, Bible, I mean. No, they are committed to what they think for their interest. So they live their life the way they enjoy. Also, many people can easily detect a hidden agenda in relationships. This means that they, you cannot, you know, you cannot speak this honestly. You should be honest in whatever you say. They can detect this kind of hidden agenda. They can feel you if you are pushing them to speak in Christianity. So they will stop the discussion. Also, many people will resist high pressure from any group. This is very common now in America, that they may accept our Lord Jesus Christ, but pushing them into any kind of church or commitment to any group, they fear of being committed to the groups. But they can accept the idea of God's presence and gospel, and but not through any group. So you may put this later on. You start by pushing them into the knowledge of God, and later on you can speak about the church. Also, if single, may flock to pass for human contact and support. If they are single, they may have many barriers in their treatment of others. They see science as more reliable than religion. This is very important. Most of the people, those who are well-cultured in wherever, America, Australia, Europe, they believe that science is higher than religion. They can accept or believe in science, but it's not easy to believe in religion, whatever. Also, you should know that people around consider Christianity's claim to uniqueness to be gutted in the extreme. When we Christians claim that Christianity is the only way to the knowledge of God, Christianity is the only way to the afterlife, they believe this is too much exaggeration, or you are very tightened in your thinking. So they hate to this way of discussion. Many of them believe psychology probably has as many answers as religion. Now, you know, psychology and counseling is a major science all over the world, a cultured one. So they believe, if I'm depressed, I don't need God, I will need some counselor to help me getting out of my depression. If I'm in obsession and anxiety, frustrations, and despair, whatever the problem, I may need some counselor, some psychologist to help. I don't think I need some priest. I don't think I need the church. I don't believe in the Bible will help me. So most of the people now believe that psychology has a better role in our lives than religion. You know, this kind of mistake is coming to our church. So we have to take care. We should take care that believing in the Bible is most important than any other belief. Many view God as a harsh or a kind, distant grandfather. I like this sentence. Most of the people around believe that God, if there is any God, God most probably is some harsh judge, you know, is a harsh judge. Or maybe like a grandfather, better to step away from him. He is a kind guy, but he is a distant one. Also, people may resist high pressure from any group, we said it. Believe God is probably irrelevant to their existence. This is also very important. If there is God, many, you will find millions believe that there is God, but I don't have any kind of relation with such God. I don't care, actually. Let him be and let me live. But believing in God has nothing to do with my life. So they may not say, I do not believe in God. But actually, when you put them into any kind of relation with God, they will reject. Also, many believe that they can see rarely the Bible as the source of truth. We believe that our book is the Bible, our experience in everything is the Bible, it's the Word of God, but nobody believes this except us. So don't push the Bible words into your discussion. They do not believe in the Bible. So do not refer much to the Bible with non-believers, unless you are getting some verses which is very logic to them. But just you are putting some verses, this is your belief. I don't believe in these verses and even in the whole Bible. Many people vaguely wonder if there isn't some truth to the new cults. This means that many now believe in the cults. You know what cult? The cults are the minor religions which are nowadays new religions coming day after day. They call them cults. So mainly the Americans believe these cults have some truth. They believe in cults in the Eastern religions more than they believe in Christianity now. Mostly in Europe. You know, Europe now is like 90% atheist. 90%. This is a huge number. So 90% atheist. Many of them may believe in cults, but they do not believe in real God. Also, many see Christians as judgmental killjoys. You understand this? When you speak to the somebody in the plane or the train or whatever, and just saying, I'm Christian, and you are saying it loudly as you are proud of being true Christian, he will look at you in a strange look, because he believes such Christian is very judgmental, and you are bad, you are silly, I don't like to speak with such. Many people also will quickly point to the hypocrisy of so-called people of God on TV. You know, because of this, some preachers coming on the TV, and nowadays are well known of making money of this, and they are multimillionaires giving the word of God. So most of the Americans now do not believe in God or the Bible because of these people, because they know this is kind of business. So people on the TV preaching the word of God, I don't believe in them. They are making money. This is a good business. I wish I could be one of them. You understand the story? So don't jump pushing them to the TV channels or TV religious channels. Usually most of them do not believe in this. On the other hand, many people are also, if graduating from college, fear that they won't find a job. This is the real life. You understand the essential foundation of preaching, that you understand the circumstances around the people you are preaching to. So most of the people now being graduated are very full of fears that they won't find a job. Worry about the risks of marital commitment. You know, weddings or marriage now is something not accepted by most. Because why I commit myself to marriage? I can have the relation without marriage. So any marital relation, we consider marriage is the usual status of men and women, but they do not believe in this. They doubt that their family relationships will ever be stable and satisfying. They do not believe in family as before. You have to understand this. They do not consider the usual relations. You can find any father letting go his young man on like 13, 14 years old, go and work. And look, wherever you stay, you can't stay anymore in my house. This is the father. Okay, they do not believe much in families. Also, they worry that old age will find them alone and disabled. This kind of, you know, fears and phobias all over the world. So, you know, if you know properly these points, you can introduce the gospel or the word of God through these weaknesses, that they full of fear. They have phobias of being disabled, of being lonely after a few years, of being fired of their job. These kind of fears are everywhere. Others on other countries are poor or sick. Others accept death easily. You know, when you go to African countries, to India, you will find strange people far away from what we were saying now. They accept death easily because they are very poor and used to be sick. So what to do? His father died. So his wife died. His son died. They are helpless, hopeless. This is the kind of life they used to. So this is another kind of people you have to preach to. They have no need to think much. You know, this is a strange category of people, but you know, this kind of people may form like more than 50% of the population all over the world, the poor countries. So they do not think much. They do not logic everything as you do or others do. Also, these others just trying to find food and shelter. All their hope is just to eat or to find some place to sleep in. Full stop. This kind of people, we have different approach, you know. When we preach to those people, we can sell food and shelter. And by this way, they can touch God easily. They can believe in our Lord very easy because they ate and they got the shelter. You understand? So different kinds of people have different approaches. Also, these people live as forgotten, worthless, aimless people. These men live their life always forgotten by anybody, from everybody, and live worthless life and aimless life. So this kind of people, usually the approach is love. Just love these people. They will love you back and they will accept whatever you say. We experienced this experience while serving in Sudan. In the poor areas in Sudan, it's very clear. When you love them, they love you back and they believe whatever you say. And they easily come to God. Not like Americans, Europeans, or this other people. So, preaching now. In preaching, we need at least, first of all, sit, listen, and walk where they walk. We can put it like rule number one. In preaching, we have to sit, listen, walk where they sit, and talk and walk. You understand the meaning? You can never preach by chatting. It's not easy, you know. Better to go and sit and live with them and experience their experiences. And after this, you can deliver the message and they will accept it. So this is the rule, the golden rule of preaching. So we need to talk to those people and to go to them. The result, they will trust. Usually when you sit and talk and listen and walk and share their life, they can trust you, and after trusting you, they can accept the message. And that's exactly what our Lord had done. Our Lord spoke His word like 5,000 years before coming, but nobody actually knew Him. But He was incarnated, He came to our life, to our world, so we now know Him, and we accepted Him, because He came to us. Okay? He sits with us. He walked on our earth. He lived our life. That's why we can easily accept His word and accept His life. Another point, Christianity is realistic. What we mean by Christianity is realistic. We must be convinced that the Christian faith always targeting others for the benefit of others. Remind yourself that you are not going to take any benefit from preaching. You are giving them something, you are not taking any. This is an important point, that in preaching, you know, those countries which the preachers came for, and they made use of their land, and they made use of their fortunes. Now they refused their God and they rejected peace because they were not honest. They abused their culture. They abused their life. But being a preacher, you should be honest that you are coming to give, not to take any. By giving, they will trust you and love you and accept your message. Always targeting others for the benefit of others. Also, its truth has transformed our lives. Another point, important point, is that being Christian means that you really experienced real change in your life. Transformation means change, real change. So when you preach, where you deliver the message of God, you are aiming at changing the kind of life this man is living. So when you believe in this, you felt the power of God to change you from a bad guy to a good one, from a selfish one to a loving character. So when you preach the word of God, you are giving them a real fortune, a real power to change. You believe in it. If you believe in this, I think you will be attractive to anybody and they will follow you. That's exactly what I meant by Christianity is realistic. It's not like just believing in some ideas. No. We believe Christianity can change these people from bad ones to good ones. Jesus Christ dealt with people's needs. This is real Christianity. Our Lord Jesus Christ dealt with our materialistic needs, the need for food, for shelter, for everything. He gave the 5 loaves. He dealt with the spiritual needs. He gave us salvation, forgiveness. He dealt with physical needs. He was touching by love all heads and those sick people. And he gave us love. Everybody needs love. So Christianity is down to earth, is real, because it changed the pattern of life people live. How can you witness and explain clearly that Jesus Christ is the right and the only relevant solution? You know, this question is important because it puts you on the track of preaching. How can you witness or explain clearly that Jesus Christ is the right and only relevant solution to all problems? If you believe in this kind of question and answer, I think you will start preaching good. We will put it like in 6 points, and after this we will start the discussion. I'm sorry, I'm using more time than expected. 1, be involved. 2, be informed. 3, be an example. 4, be understanding. Points, be committed to God. 6, dig for answers to their possible questions. First of all, be involved. In order to deliver the message that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only solution for everybody's need, complaints, problems, disasters, first of all, be involved in their life, which means it was written in the Old Testament, if someone says in the John, his first epistle, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Means being involved, that you push yourself into their life. You care. you really love, you empathize with their problem, you feel their feeling, you touch their problems. Being involved, this is the first step of breaching. That's why you have to go to them, sit with them, walk with them, live with them, and then get yourself involved with their life. Being involved, start with the person next door. This is kind of, training. Just start with the next door. Do not expect to be a preacher when you travel to China or India. No, you have to be a preacher from now. I know our culture does not accept preaching easily, but by this way of loving others, caring, and you will know other points now, just first of all start with the next door, with those who are working with you. Are you really involved in their life? Do you really love them? Does any of them feel your real love? This is the start. They will come asking you why you love us, why you are really good. So this is the start of preaching. Get involved in others' life and your evangelism will begin to take off. Get involved in others' life, your evangelism will begin to take off. It's like flying, you know. So taking off starts when you are really involved in their life. Another point, do not rely only on words. This is the major problem of many preachers, that they believe in wording, in speaking, in talking. Actually, preaching starts much earlier than this. It starts by love, by caring, by touching, by living together, and after maybe many years, you can start talking. So do not rely much on words, help, advice, act, give time, give yourself. This all the start of preaching. Listen with your heart, not with your mind. Another major problem that sometimes when we speak with some non-believer, we think all the time what to say. You are not hearing him. You are not touching his point. Just feel what he feels. Love him honestly. Listen carefully. Be an active listener, so you can change him up. The gospel is not a pill to be taken, but it's a nice one. The gospel is not a pill taken, but it's rather a life. Second point. In preaching, we are answering the major question now, how can we witness and explain clearly that Jesus Christ is the right and only relevant solution. Second point, be informed. We mean by being informed that you should be aware of the life around, of the world around. If you are not living this life, you will not have the access or the approach to get into their life. When you preach, you have to read the newspaper of the country you are going to. You have to know the problems people are talking about. You have to understand the economy of the country, the politics of the country. You have to have some information about these things. Be informed. What do people speak on? Be diligent to know the state of your flock. This is a verse in Proverbs. And attend to your flock. So know your flock, your sheep. Know them carefully. Examine their life. Go deeper into their mind. By being informed also, look around to know what problems are getting up on the surface. Like in America or some cultured areas, the problem of abortion, of homosexuality, of corruption, of mafia, of whatever. You have to understand what these people are afraid of, or what they defend and what they attack. You should be part of this discussion. So be informed of the world around you. This will give you common ground to build on. So you have a good start with them. You have a good ground to step in. It will help you relate the gospel to real situations. By knowing the problems they face or they are afraid of, you can put the best answer from the Bible on this problem. You understand? So this is the kind of preaching that you know what's exactly minding them most of the time, and then you put the answer from the Bible. This will help you understand people's problems. And by understanding deeply their problem, you can go deeper into their heart and start changing them into a belief. The third point, be an example. So the first, be involved, get into their life. Second, be informed, just know good knowledge about their life. The third point, be an example. It was written in Philippians, second chapter, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. بالعربي جيل معوج وملتوي, crooked and perverse. جيل معوج وملتوي. But you are blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of crooked first generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. If this apply on you, you will be the best preacher. So they should feel the difference. They are living in darkness. They know what crooked and perverse generation means. But you are pointing at different quality of life. Blameless, harmless, and light of God, children of God. This is kind of difference, and this is the start of preaching, that being an example. Also, your spirituality, it's not only a matter of ideas or verses from the Bible or power of convincing others. No, your spirituality, they should touch in your actions, in your beliefs, and in your attitude. If you are harsh and tough in your attitude, I don't care whether you are Christian or non-believer. I won't be your friend. I don't want to talk to you. Understand what I mean? Because you are not good. So they should touch the spirituality in your way of thinking, in your beliefs, in your attitude, in everything. Don't be special professional preacher. You know, nowadays there are professional preachers. We are not aiming at making you professional. No, we are just trying for all of us to be good Christian. So we are children of God, light of this world, and we can shine others' light. Don't be a superficial professional preacher. You won't convince them. The Christian is different. And that was written in John 17, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ was different, very much different. So he was asking us to be also different. So if you are not different, your difference is not clear, you can never be a preacher, you can never convince anybody. As being different, different in time usage. How do you use time? How do you look at money? How do you depend on your strengths? What point of strength you believe in? How about the values in your life? What kind of values you believe in? This all help others see the difference. You understand? Your points of strength, your values, your money attitude, these points share to focus on the real day. Also the day activities, what do you do? You are getting into other relations and you are working with non-believers in any country, so they will know what do you do after work, what kind of activity you have. And through these activities, they can, you know, imagine your pattern of life. How much different? How can you enjoy life in your life? And you look very happy. This real difference. Do you overindulge yourself in food, sex, money? This is the kind of life everywhere. Overindulged in sex, in money, in pleasures, whatever. This is the kind of worldly, earthly life. So you are different. This is not the kind of life you are living. You do not care much about these things. How do you respond when you are disappointed or down? You are getting down, but you have faith. You have hope. You love God. You know how to pray. You are different. I remember one day I was in a plane to America and I sit beside a professor in psychiatry. I think I gave you the story. And after 1.5 hour discussion on religion, faith and atheism, he is an atheist. He was an atheist. I don't know if he's living or not. He was a very old man. He was very nice, actually. He pointed at this point. You believe have a good point. When you are disappointed, frustrated, depressed, overstressed, you can put your burden on somebody else's shoulder. We non-believers can never. You understand? As believers, in any kind of stress, we pray, God help. Okay? But they cannot. Because they live their life, there is no God. So whenever comes the stresses and the problems, they should carry it on their shoulder. So he pointed this point. He told me this, that you are better in this. I don't... only this. Do you live in an ivory tower? This is bad one. Isolated, over busy in church, that you have no time for the unbelieving. Actually, this is part of our problem in the Coptic church, that we are over busy in our church. We do not look much outside the church. We do not seek those who are living around. We do not think over the countries around. We just live in our church. We are working on our kids. And you can find like 5 servants on 5 kids. What kind of service is this? And no one service in a country. So actually we have this kind of weakness. The Christian is different. Avoid hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means, you know, the kind of faith or religion which is from outside, not a real one, not honest one. You do not love God really. You just know God theoretically. You know much on God, about Him, but you do not know Him. You do not talk to Him. You just can speak upon Him. This is much different, you know? So being really religious means that your God is a major part in your life. He is your father. He is your friend. He is the one who you enjoy talking to. But just being Christian as others, this is kind of hypocrisy. You can never be a preacher. People can feel if the person in front of them is a real, truly religious person or not. They can know. They can know whether you are really good, really man of God, or you just know what to say. They can touch it, you know. A good this man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So they can look upon your heart from whatever comes of your mouth. So by speaking loudly the word of God, they can look deeper and see what's exactly in your heart. The fourth point, to remind you, the first was be involved, be informed, and the third was be an example. The fourth point, be understanding. Understanding people's weaknesses. Understand that this man used to drink much. Don't look bad upon him because he is drunk or he used to drink. This is kind of his culture. He does not believe in God. He never relates his morals to the Bible. So why do you look this way, this look? Just understand. Understand his way of life. He has a girlfriend. Don't comment. Just respect his life. This is the kind of life he lived before, and this is the only kind of life he knows. So please understand. Understand why he is not happy, why he is afraid, why he does not like God, because this kind of God was presented to him was a bad one. This word God is not a good word. So just understand his deeper emotions and thinking. Understand the world's temptations. Be understanding. No, if you are preaching to some young man, you know how much temptations around him? You know how much it's not easy not to sin for this man in this culture? So just be understanding. Also, of the word greed, I mean be understanding to everything around. This will help you deliver your message. The fifth point, be committed to God. The fifth point, I mean by commitment to God, that you are working with God and for God. So while preaching, you should cry to God, help me. Before opening your mouth, you should cry to God. And while talking to this guy, you should pray. Because you are committed to God, you are not preaching yourself. You do not want to win the game. No, this is not a kind of game and winning. This is kind of working with God. Our Lord will love. He is loving this man, and he loves his salvation. So you are making his dream. Don't be influenced. Do not hide your Christianity. This is a famous mistake in our culture, that we hide our Christianity. You are fasting and you do not want to say, sorry, I'm fasting. Why? Why don't you say it in front of the non-believers? This is a good point to start talking about Christ. I cannot eat this one because I'm fasting. Okay. So be committed to God. Don't break your fast just to share them and ignore the story of preaching. Three challenges to your faith. A faith challenges. If you are really good Christian, if you are a man of God, you yourself are committed to God and you facing always many challenges. That's why when you preach, you understand what challenges this man will face and you can help. We have many good preachers in the Old Testament, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, I'm not going to tell you the stories, you understand. The sixth point, dig for answers to their possible questions. This is the last point, and after, just dig for answers. You will know in many lectures that if you are a good preacher and you pray good and you speak the word of God in a nice way, you will come to a point he will ask you a question in your face. You have to be ready for this. If you are not ready, as if you are building a tower and you stopped in the middle. No, you are aiming at this point. You are waiting him just to ask, how can God be a man? Okay, now it's time. How can the Bible be the only reference for the truth? Okay, this is the truth. So be ready to answer the question. If you do not know how to answer, all what you have done before is in vain. Okay, so dig for answers to their possible questions. We have a lecture after like weeks, like the commonest 5-7 questions you will face in preaching. So we will help you. But you know, you can be faced by any kind of question in religion. Never be a singer of what you do not understand. Understand? Don't sing whatever you do not understand. So again, be involved, be informed, be an example, be understanding, be committed to God, dig for answer to the possible questions. We were saying that you should be faithful. You should believe really in God. There are three kinds of faith. Just comment. The commonest is the conformity faith. We mean by conformity faith that living in an environmental faith, you are Christian because you are born Christian and you go to the church every few months and you just put the candle on. This kind of faith has nothing to do with preaching. You can never speak the word of God. This is not the faith helping you. Another kind is informational faith. Informational, that you read many books. You read many books. You know many informations about Christianity, Coptic history, Coptic culture, and many Coptic songs, and you know hundreds of saints. Actually, this has nothing to do with preaching. This is kind of informational faith. This will never help you in preaching. Okay? The only kind of faith which can help you to preach is the committed faith, commitment, being really Christian, believing and living accordingly. Believing and living accordingly. You are not just believing. You live the word of God. You are trying to live with the model of Christ, with the word of Christ. Okay? Because you know, even the demons believe and tremble. Shayateen, yu'minun. So, shayateen ma bibasharush. Two essential ingredients of faith to know Jesus Christ personally. Two major points to evaluate. First is commitment, the second is love. Being real Christian, being a good preacher, you should be committed. Commitment means that you are committed to pray, to read the Bible, to go to the church, to serve God, and you are waiting from the guy you are preaching to commit himself to Jesus. You understand what I mean? You are not trying to give him information. So he will be from the type of informational faith. We don't need it. We do not need to add one to our Christianity. This is not our goal. No, we need to make him a saint. We need to push him to know God. So it's not a kind of giving him many informations or showing him how much I know about my faith. No. The point is how to commit this guy to God. Written now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So you keeping his commandments and you are trying with the guy to believe in God and keep his commandments. The other point in evaluation or the Second essential ingredient for the real faith is love. Love presented by doing. So, it's written in Matthew, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, it's not a matter of just saying the name of the Lord, but making God. Lastly, this is the homework. Okay, please, all of you should write this down. Okay. You will read chapter 11 in Hebrews, in the epistle of St. Paul to Hebrews, chapter 11. In this chapter, this is the famous chapter of faith. We are going to trace or analyze this chapter on one point, actions of faith. Actions of faith, or faith in actions. I mean, by Saint Abraham, obey the commandment of God. So obedience is an action of faith. Understand? Another point. Moses, by faith, did not fear the Pharaohs. So by faith, he was not in fear. He was fearless. This is an action of faith. You understand what I mean? By faith, Saint Abraham offered his son on the altar. This is kind of action. Action of faith. Offering. You understand? You are going to put 10 actions of faith from this chapter. Okay? It's very much clear in the chapter. Don't take it from here. It's written. Okay. Not only the words. Wait a minute. You have to comment on each action. How can you evaluate your faith on this action? Again, it's not only to bring me the action itself. Just comment, few comments, few words on. How can I evaluate myself on quality of offering? I'll give an example. Being faithful, being a real Christian, by faith, you will offer whatever in respect, in love, in honesty. So offering is not just give this to God. Because it was written here in Cain and Habil. Habil offer better offering than Cain. So what's better? Why? By faith. Because he believes God was looking at him. So he offered in a humble way, in a committed way. You understand what I mean? Just one sentence on each action. Whatever you like. Okay? 10 actions with 10 sentences. This is very easy.
And 10 comments.
10 comments on the 10 actions equal 10 sentences. Okay? And please evaluate yourself on this. Okay? Do you really treat God as a living person or as a just an idea or picture? Thank you very much. Glory to God. Amen. Any comment? Any discussion? We still have another lecture. Sorry to tell you. But we will have a break in 5 minutes. Do you have any question? Yes. Just 1 minute, Habib. Ines. Doctora Ines. No, I mean the comment, the sentence you write. Better to put it when you evaluate yourself on this kind of action. How can you evaluate yourself? Another example. Okay, I may answer this question. I do not have enough faith because I still fear people. But Moses did not fear any because his faith was strong, was stronger than me. Understand what I mean? So this is the action of faith.
I could not donate my child
Yes. 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 Yeah. Okay. Yes. How much I do it? How can I do it? Yes, you can put it any way. I want just your expressions, you know. We want you to share in thinking. So we are evaluating our faith, whether we can be preacher. We do have real faith, so we can preach the word of God, or we can never. Okay? Okay? Okay. New King James. Okay, New King James is the best, or New International. New International. You can use any. New International or New King James.